हरिः ॐ सहनवतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्रीअद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासरि गौरभक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम हरे राम 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 हरे हरे.
Okay, Sri Paramatma Sandarbha, Adhyayana 3, the external energy of the Lord. And so then that'll have Adhikarna 1, description of Bahiranga Shakti, Adhikarna 2, the theory of transformation, Parinamavad, Adhikarna 3, the sameness of the universe and the Lord, Adhikarna 4, the truth of the material creation explained through Satkaryavad. So this is Adhyaya 3. The external energy of the Lord, Maya Shakti. Adhyaya Prakashika. Having discussed the primary characteristics of the Jiva Tattva in the previous Adhyaya, the characteristics of the Bahiranga Shakti are described in the current Adhyaya. The first Adhikarna describes the two main portions of the Maya Shakti and then elaborates on the functions of each portion. The Bahiranga Shakti or Maya Shakti has two main portions, Guna Rupa or Maya portion, which is the efficient cause, Nimiti, of the universe, and Dravya Rupa or Pradhan, which is the material cause of the universe. Right? I mean, so one is getting things done and one of the ingredients you're doing things with. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So it's the same that we discussed previously, Nimitta and Upadana, is that right?
Yes, Nimitta and Upadana.
Yes,
Upadana and Dravya are also.
Same,
yeah. It's just different. I think Upadana means paraphernalia, and Dravya means ingredients, like that. It's same difference. It's, being brought up. So, means you're going to do something with something. So you already have to have something that is what transforms. So what transforms is the cause. Just like in clay, then you're going to have clay transforming into a pot. So the clay is the cause and the pot is the effect.
Right?
Yeah. So, does that make sense? Because that way, because in cause and effect, you can see the nature in the effect by what's in the cause. Right? Yeah.
So now here the cause, it is the efficient cause, Nimitta, and the effect, and what is the example that
you said? What do you call it? Okay, Gunarupa. So, efficient cause, yes, Nimitta.
It is in the example of the clay and the pot, it is the clay.
No, the clay is the dravya. The clay is the dravya, the ingredient.
Yes.
And then the efficient will be then who is transforming that.
The potter.
Yeah, the potter.
The potter.
Yeah, the potter is making the pot.
Yes.
So what we see here has been transformed by Gunamaya. But it's been transformed from Pradhan. Does that make sense? It means you can only make something with something.
Yes.
You know, I can't make breakfast with nothing.
Yes.
If I could, we'd solve the whole economic problem, right? You know.
Yes,
so it means Pradhan, that expands as the 24 elements.
Yes.
That's then what everything is made from. So you take the 24 elements, you transform it into all the stuff you see.
Yes.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
So the Nimitta is the efficient. And then the Dravya, you know, Rupa or Pradhan is the material cause.
Yes, and the person is the origin.
Yes, and Krishna is the origin of both. And it's by his potency that it takes place. Yeah? Yes, you.
It also sounds that the material nature, just as you just mentioned, reading that little paragraph, it's a cause, and then those two features, dravya and nimitta, is the effect. So we can take it also like that, because otherwise it's not exactly matching what is what.
Means you're going to have ingredient, because like Krishna is the original cause, because he's actually the ingredient.
Yeah.
So of the ingredient, then we're talking about the material world, so then we're taking his external energy as the ingredient.
Right.
Then that is the cause of the universe. But we have to always remember that ingredient is his ingredient. It's him. Yes. It's his sarup. You know, it's coming from his sarup. While the spiritual world will be coming from his internal potency. So in either case, he's the cause of all causes. That's why the cause of all causes. So material energy is the cause, but the cause of the material energy is Krishna.
Yes.
So here when we're saying cause, we're meaning the ingredient aspect. Generally we take it as cause, meaning the efficient.
Yeah.
Right? Yes.
Also these two categorization are based on the functions of the Maya Shakti.
Mm.
Sometimes describing the situation of Maya Shakti, we may hear some other way of putting it.
Okay.
But based on how she functions in, like, you know, controlling the material world and then covering the living entities, mm-hmm. then these two are the main.
Main, yeah. Because it means you having dravya means having all the ingredients, because on her own she can't do all that. It's only when Krishna glances, then that potency is there, in which now action can take place, because the time element comes. Because otherwise Pradhan just sits there very comfortably, eternally, doing nothing. And so when you add time, now you can get movement, so then all the ingredients are there. Right? So we see is that Krishna is the one who's actually the efficient. That's why he says, he's the efficient cause, and what's the other cause?
The material cause.
Mm-hmm. So he's the one, he is the ingredients, he is the potency that allows the transformation to take place. And then we see the effect, you know, like that. Does that make sense? So it's always that you have the one, then you're going to have the next, but then this one becomes that the last one. And does that make sense? Because each one, it's just like you can see the qualities of the Son in the from the Father, right? But you can see the qualities of that in the Grandfather. So you see Grandfather is the cause, the Son is the effect. But at the same time, then the Son is the cause and the Grandson's the effect.
Yes.
So that's also what gets confusing, because we want something that's in one place and not in others. That's why scientists are so impersonal and have, you know, and are socially dysfunctional, because they expect something should always act like this when no, it's personal. Things overlap. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
You know, it's just like I put some spices, then I put the vegetables. Now why, again, if I'm putting spice, am I going to put more vegetables? You know? No. You know, it's not. But how can I do that? And then I put it at the beginning. Now I'm putting again some other spices at the end. You know, so a scientist would have a problem. Because it's supposed to be just one thing and that's it, and no other explanation. So that's what they work it down to. They work it down to it makes logical sense that they could perceive it with their senses. Then they'll say, this is logical, this is the academic method. When in reality, it's not like that. They can say whatever they like, but the world's run by people who can see the overlap. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So that's the difficulty. They say, no, it has to be like this, I have to see it. But then, you know, And to do that, then they say, I can see this, I can see that. They, you know, by illusion, then they put together things that actually can't happen. You know. So that's the difficulty. So that's the whole point, as we get used to it, because it's personal. That's why then you have distinctions, but it's one thing. Does that make sense? It's just like you have the cook preparation. It is all the ingredients, but it's all together that makes it what it is. So when you taste it, it has this nice effect. You know, but if you took all those ingredients on their own and ate that, you wouldn't get that effect. So you can say, oh, it's just made of this, 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 this. Yes, but it's the combination, how it was combined and all that, that gave this effect.
Yeah.
Does that make sense? So that point is that's why the personal is the real. Because the impersonal is dear to the intellectuals. Because then, it to them, it just makes sense. Mm. Does that make sense? So them, it's just they're looking at it logically. But the point is no, you have to be able to accommodate that it all works at once. So that's why even of all the philosophies in the Gaudiya of Vaishnavism, that's going to have the Achinta Beta Beta Tattva. They can actually understand everything at its best. So that's why you see when you run the universe, it's only run by Vaishnavas. The demons want to come in and take over. But you see, when they take over, they mess things up. Like when Hiranyakashipu was there, all the trees have to give fruit all the time. There's no season, so whenever he wants something, it's all there. And he just messes things up for his own. He doesn't understand the whole thing. It's just about themselves. They can't follow authority. So that's why the universe cannot be managed by non-devotees. It has to be managed by those who accept the supremacy of the Lord. So in their occupation, they follow the Lord. In their personal life, sometimes they may remember, sometimes not. But at least in their occupation, they do it all according to what has to be done, because they're seeing that bigger picture. Well, the demons never see the bigger picture. They can't. Because it's they're the center. So whatever's good for them, that's what's there. They don't understand how they fit in the universe. So therefore, the impersonal God works nicely for them, because if it's impersonal, then they themselves can be the personal center. And also then, impersonal, it's just they can apply their logic and they're happy. But when you have to have things that seem illogical, they can say, oh, it's illogical, it can't exist. But if that's there, how do relationships exist? Right? And so that's why you see is that the ones, it means if they're in the soft sciences, they do a little better. But if they're in the hard sciences, they have real problems with relationships.
Yeah, it's the same kind of issue that we discussed previously. If we take the rule as an impersonal and
right.
an exception as personal,
right.
how to balance those two becomes, it's unless you understand Achintya Beda Beda Tattva, it can't really balance those
yes.
two.
Yes, that's why you see it has to be devotees, and then you see the best of them are going to be those that understand the original. You know? Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah. So then that's why then they're running. So Brahma's running the universe. Because he can accommodate all that at once. So it's just the fact. It's just the way it is. People may or may not appreciate that, but that doesn't mean that changes the fact. You know, it's just like because the kid doesn't appreciate the rules laid down in the house about when you can eat cookies or not, it doesn't change that that's the way it is. It's not because he doesn't like it, the rule changes. You know? You know, the father doesn't like that he has to work. It doesn't mean it changes it. You know? So it's just there are facts, and that's just the way it is. So we can discuss how the facts work. We can try to make it clear so we understand the facts. There's no question of discussing does the fact exist. You know what I'm saying? When you're dealing with those who don't have appreciation, then you discuss it because they don't. So the logical aspects are there. But once someone's surrendered to Krishna, it's a matter of dogma, it's just the way it is. If you have doubts, clear those before you take initiation. Does that make sense? At least that kind of faith. It means you don't necessarily know all the details and all this and that, and there may be so many things we don't know. That's fine. But it's not a matter of that. Otherwise, you see like that one, I think it was in London, when the book came out about the not going to the moon. There was one devotee, young devotee, who was really disturbed about that. And so when Prabhupada giving the lecture, then he would even refer to him, you know, in a joking way, you know, pleasantly joking way, about how he doesn't believe this, you know, like that. And so I think eventually it worked out for him. But the point is we're not going to change it. It's not going to be, oh, but if it's like this, then these people will leave or these people won't join. It's kind of like, we can't change the facts. We can't change the facts.
I think Yamuna Mataji, she mentions in her book that once she was looking for that devotee, and then she asked Srila Prabhupada, where's this such and such? And Prabhupada said, oh, he went to the moon.
Because yeah, I think something happened. He's in the kitchen, and he had his hands were black, and he touched his face. He said, oh, he went to the moon. Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's right. You probably would joke about it. The subsequent adhikaranas elaborate further on the metaphysics of the functioning of the universe. Right? Because the metaphysics means what are the laws that it's working on? Then there's the actual the things that you see. Does that make sense? Because that's the thing is that unless you accept the metaphysics, you can't actually understand how the physics are happening. The second adhikarana establishes that the universe is real and is a transformation of the Lord Shakti. The material universe, which is the result of Maya, is stated as the form of the Lord. But this universal form is different from the spiritual forms of the Lord, manifested by his own Sarup Shakti. Though Paramatma exists with an unchanging nature, by his inconceivable Shakti is able to transform into the shape of the universe. His quote-unquote being does not change in his Surup, but changes in his Dravya Shakti, Pradana. Just like the Chintamani, which produces objects, or a magnet which moves iron. Thus the theory of transformation, Parinamavad, is justified. Right? So it means his energies will transform, and the energies are not different. In this way, he's become the universe. But at the same time, his original form doesn't change because he's done that. Right? The third adhikarana further affirms the Parinamavad by elaborating on the non-difference of the universe, effect from the Lord, cause. The Vivartavadis, who claim the universe as false, argue that the material world cannot be a Shakti of the Lord, because one can perceive duality in the material world, whereas the Supreme Brahman is non-dual. Based on the statements of scriptures, this adhikarana, however, conclusively proves that the world doesn't exist independent of the Lord, and hence is a portion of him. Right? Because, you know, it's just like the generator means it makes electricity. But you can see the generator can be there. And then electricity is separate. But at the same time, they're non-different. So it's just, that takes a little bit of, you know, I mean, electricians understand that. But we can see is that the other intellectuals can't because they work in that practical area. But that basic principle, other intellectuals can't understand. And because they can't, and the problem is intellectuals being intelligent, They forget that their intelligence is applied in a particular capacity, in a particular area. And so within that area, they're very expert. But in other areas, they don't know anything more than the common man. So as long as they stick to their own area, they have that position of respect, right? That they can talk on that subject. In other subjects, they may be an intelligent person because of their position, so socially they're respected for that. But outside of their discipline, they have no right to talk and no right to think that they understand it. Means if they do understand it, nice. But the problem comes is if they don't understand something that's outside their area, they will say it's wrong. So that's the problem. Is that the pride that's there of the intellectuals, then they can't see the absolute truth because of that. They're blinded. Because they can only, through their senses, perceive Maya, and they can't accept anything beyond their senses. That means they can't accept the Supreme Lord. It's an inherent defect that they will never admit to. You know what I'm saying? Some are good in one area, in intellectual. If they can't understand another area, they demand that, no, it's wrong, because I don't understand it. I'm a PhD. If I don't understand it, no one can understand it. What you see is everybody else in the audience understands it, except them. Like that. And same with someone in power. You know, and if they can't control it, then that's a problem. Their ego comes up, or the businessman about money, or the shudra about his art, or he can't express himself, he gets angry. Like we were talking in the drama. You tell him, no, but it has to be done this way. No, but I feel it should be, but that doesn't matter. You're feeling, and I'm watching, and it's not giving the effect. You may feel it, but no one else does, so that's not acting. You want to sit down and feel, go for it on your own time. But acting means the others feel it. If you know, just because you feel it and they don't, that doesn't make them Philistines and you're something elevated. No, it just means they feel nothing and you're a bad actor. That's what it means. But they won't accept that. They'll just completely freak out because of false ego. So that's the whole thing is here, is that clearing the false understandings of the jiva, now we're trying to clear the false understandings of Maya. You know, but the point is on the jiva, that's who you are. Right? And so that's going to have a lot of, you know, strong points there. But it'll probably have a few less strong points than now. So that's why you see jivas discussed first, because that's I. But material energy is now being discussed after understanding I, because this is mine. And where there's mine, that's where people kill each other. You know? Because this is mine to enjoy, so they want the material energy to be in a particular way so they can enjoy it. So to accept that, no, it's all control, means Krishna is down to everything. But people say, no, it's my house. I can do whatever I want. You can, on the social platform, as long as you keep your door closed and no one sees or hears anything, you do what you want. Socially, you'll maintain the same status because nobody knows. But the point is the Lord is everything in the house. So you're dealing with it. If it's improper, the Lord knows. And he's the one that makes the rules, so he's the one that you have to worry about. So, yes, socially you'll go on, but then you're wondering why everything's starting to fall apart for you. Because you're not acknowledging the Lord's position. You know? So whatever good karma from properly using the Lord's energy, because good karma comes from following God's laws, not from doing whatever you want. No, I got out there and I did whatever I want and I got what I wanted. Yeah, and then after a few years, you keep doing that, at some point they lose all their money. So he has the money from properly following the laws before. So,
Maharaj, I have a question about, you were mentioning the beginning about scientist. So what is the spirit of a Vaishnava scientist?
The spirit of Vaishnava scientist means appreciating Krishna's creation. You know, how he did it. I mean, like other great. I think it was like Einstein and some of those others. Then it's just, we're simply observing God's creation and appreciating the amazing aspect of it. They just like to mechanically look at it. You know, they'll look at it from that aspect rather than, let's say, a social aspect or an economic or other aspects. They just look at it, the mechanical functioning of it according to the laws, and they appreciate that. So that's the whole point, is that you're doing that. So one is, you may be a scientist, that's your occupation, that's how you maintain yourself in Krishna consciousness. So it's not that it's a philosophy for them. For these others, it's a philosophy. They make their money, but they have to be philosophers, because so then it makes them sound better. Right? Because if it's just you're a mercenary, you're just taking advantage of knowledge. You know, you're exploiting, you're complaining about the businessmen or the politicians. They're exploiting power or money, you're exploiting knowledge and maintaining yourself. So then what's the glory? You know, if knowledge is higher, that means you're worse. You know? So like that, then that aspect is there. So you have that generic kind of aspect. Then you're going to have the personal, that an individual there is applying themselves, and it's going to be always, unique in how the combination of how they're looking at things and their attitude and everything. But the general principle has to be accepted, that if you're not accepting God's laws, and they are God's laws, and so you're appreciating them, they're not your laws, like that, and so you're just appreciating what's already happening, then you're cheating. You know, it's like there are 100 million people already sitting on the land, right? And then some walla on a boat from Europe comes over and lands there. Now it's his, right? I'm sure that 100 million people have names for that area, but as soon as he lands there and then goes back, now it's called America. You know, I'm sure that they all had names. They didn't not have a name for the land there. You know, and whatever they come in and decide, this is mine, that's theirs. You know, it's just like it's already belongs to, you know, a particular nation, right? The Cherokee, the Navajo, whatever it is. But some European guy comes in and puts up a fence, now it's his. How is that? Like that. You know, and then you say it's all right. But then once these two groups, then, you know, they have their different things, and then, okay, Britain says this and America says that, and then they make a border. Now if one of them decides, oh, that side over there I want, now it's, oh, you're stealing. But before that, they stole everything, and somehow or another it's all right, because they said it's all right. So that's the thing. If everybody agrees that you know, that stealing is all right, it is. In their morality, in someone else's, it's not. I mean, you know, it'd be very interesting to see, you know, history written by non-Europeans. You know, when we say world history, we mean the world history according to the European view. You know, we don't see it. You're not in America, you know, as a kid learning South American history from the viewpoint of the South Americans. No, you're learning it from the viewpoint of the Europeans and Americans. Yeah. Like there's that American thing, remember the Alamo in Texas. But half of Texas, Arizona, New Mexico, part of, Colorado, the whole of California and Nevada, those were all Mexico. It's a huge chunk of America. It's like one-third of America was Mexico. But America decided, we want it. And then when the Mexicans complain and fight over it, then, oh, they did us wrong. And it's like, you know. So that's the whole point, is that the social standard or the moral standard, that's created by the local people. So that's why Krishna says, sarva dharmam parityaja. You give up all those concepts of morality and accept his standard. That's the whole point. So as long as we hold on to, no, but what about this and that and these people won't like this, oh, the academics won't like it if we say this and that, That's fine, but when are you going to surrender to Krishna? You know? Means you're already partly surrendered. Why not the rest? Means you're partly surrendered and you're so much happier than if you were not surrendered. So why not, if you were fully surrendered, why wouldn't that be better? You know? But there's some still attachment, no material, or still something to offer. But it's nice, anything nice is only because it's Krishna. That's the whole point. He has become the universe. Therefore, anything nice is Him. But we think it's, no, it's the dead matter that's nice. No, it's Him that's nice. The dualities of good and bad qualities which exist in the material world can't be attributed to the Lord. Though He is the material cause, since the faults of the perverted reflection, material duality, of the original real object, spiritual world, doesn't apply to the object. Right? So in other words, you're there, and if in the mirror, the reflection in the mirror does something weird, it doesn't affect you. You know, it's just like the tree is there, and then the tree in the water is moving, the tree doesn't move. The universe can be understood as real only by those who respect and worship Paramatma and not by others. Everybody else will think it's some variety of illusion. They'll understand why it works. So people will take it as real, but they think it should work how they want it to. So only the devotees can actually understand that the world works according to how the Lord says, and if we follow what the Lord says, then things work better. Therefore, except for the pure devotees, no one else can perceive the universe as an amsha, or natural shakti of Paramatma. Right? Because we'll even think, oh, this is mine. Right? Having stressed that the world is a form of the Lord and thus is non-different from Him, a doubt may arise that the material creation, being temporary, can't have the Lord, who is spiritual, as the source. In order to dispel this and other such doubts, the author details the Satkaryavad and exposes the fallacies of the Vivarta and Arambhavad. The material world does not get absolutely destroyed, but exists in a dormant state in the Lord, even after Pralaya, universal destruction. Based on the theory of Satkaryavad, which states that the effect is dormant in the cause, the scriptural statements describing the absolute destruction of the creation does not imply the falsity of material creation, but it refers to the destruction of the jiva's illusion. Absolute destruction, adhyantika laya, simply means that the jiva gives up his adhyasa, or covering. The theory of independent illusion, illusory existence of the universe is thus refuted. Hence, one can conclude that the universe has a real existence and is a natural shakti of the Lord, though it has a temporary manifestation. That is summarized in the 12th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam as follows. This universe, and even a single atom within it, have no definition without reference to the Supreme Soul. If that were so, then these objects would have similar quality to the Lord. Srimad Bhagavatam 12.4.29. Because He's independent, they're dependent. So if they were not dependent on the Lord, they would be similar to the Lord. Just as gold is perceived in different forms of various types of manufacturing in the ordinary world, the Supreme Lord, inaccessible to material senses, is described in various words, both ordinary and Vedic, by different types of men. 12.4.31. So depending upon how you see, how much you understand, then you'll describe. Thus, the Adhyaya establishes the supremacy of the Lord over the material creation, as He is the source and the controller of the Bahiranga Shakti. So, summary of the Adhikaranas. Description of the Bahiranga Shakti, Adhikarana 1. 2. The theory of transformation, Parinamavad. 3. The sameness of the universe and the Lord. And 4. The truth of material creation explained through Satkaryavad. So, Adhikarana 1. Description of the Bahiranga Shakti. Anuchedas 48 to 55. Okay, yeah. Adhikarana Prakashika. The current Adhikarana focuses on the description of the Bahiranga Shakti of the Lord. Bahiranga Shakti is defined in the Srimad Bhagavatam as follows. I have now described Maya, the illusory energy of the Supreme Lord, which consists of the three modes of material nature and causes creation, maintenance, and annihilation of the material universe. Now, what more do you wish to hear? Srimad Bhagavatam 11.3.16. The author first delineates the two main portions of the Maya Shakti, then elaborates on the functions of each portion. Bahiranga Shakti or Maya Shakti has two main portions. Guna Rupa or Maya portion, which is the efficient cause, Nimitta, of the universe, and Dravya Rupa or Pradana, which is the material cause of the universe. The Nimitti portion of Maya has three main Shaktis, Icha, Jnana, and Kriya, which makes the form of desire to enjoy matter, vidya and avidya, and material action. Vidya and avidya are described as follows, right? So we see is that because you have the cause and effect, so in the spiritual world it's Icha, Kriya, and Jnana, but it's centered around Krishna. In the material world it'll have the same thing, Icha, Kriya, and Jnana, centered around the individual living entity. Oh Uddhava, understand that vidya and avidya are my Shaktis. They are created by my Maya, are without beginning, and create liberation and bondage for the living beings. Srimad Bhagavatam 11.11.3. Avidya puts the jiva into his conditional state of captivity, and vidya liberates him. Avidya causes bondage for the jiva by twofold process. Covering, avaranatmika, and confusing, vikshepatmika. The covering function sits in the jiva and covers his natural knowledge. The confusing function sits in the jiva and produces false knowledge. Right, so you cover. So in other words, the covering potency covers this actual knowledge, and then the confusing then creates false knowledge. Like that. Does that make sense? So that's why if we give up the false knowledge and then see things in relation to the Lord, then we uncover our natural knowledge. That's why it's not like you're putting something in. You're just uncovering what's there. So when you clean the heart, the natural knowledge comes up. We're just trying to defeat this false knowledge through giving Krishna consciousness, so that that revives the natural consciousness. That's why Prabhupada says it's not an artificial imposition on the mind. It's not that you're putting something in and, okay, well, that's your belief and then there's something else. No, this is the fact. This is the real position. Everything else is a covering because somebody says, you know, this is this, and somebody else says this is that.
Yes.
But the point is that, and then you can argue over which it is. So how do you get a conclusion, which is right, which is wrong? Is by what is God's position? What does he say is right and what does he say is wrong? That's how you have to judge. Right? And then you have to practically apply it to the living entity by the instructions given by the Lord, not by, you know, our material approach. So
we need to work on these two aspects in the same time.
Yes.
The real knowledge and not to produce false knowledge.
Yes, that's why then these things is so that whenever something comes and then we go, oh, okay, and then we come up with the new false knowledge.
Yes.
These have to be, so that's why the Maya bodies and the Sahajiyas, this is such a strong point that we're always talking about.
Mm-hmm.
And we can say is, no, but ours is about the natural knowledge. That's great, as long as you can function on that. But then we see is that people in pursuance of natural knowledge end up following these false knowledge.
Yes.
Or they project that. You know, it's like what, you know, like the Aropya Bhakti.
Yes.
You know, I project what I feel onto the Lord.
Yes.
Right? You know, so as a beginning state, that's where you're going to start anyway, because you don't know any better. But you hear from the Acharyas, so you don't take it too out of context.
Yes.
But as you get purified, that's given up.
Yes.
So you can't you can't present Aropya, Bhakti as the ultimate bhakti, and it's the same as pure bhakti. It's actually better than other form, sadhana bhakti, and it's the, it's the supreme religion, it's the supreme truth, it's the, all this and that, But people try to do that. So that's the thing, is that Therefore, that's why we have such a strong thing on establishing what is false knowledge and what is real knowledge. But the point of us dealing with the false is simply to establish the real knowledge. That's its only purpose. We're not arguing to argue. That's your modern, like you see in the modern media. You know, it's like, what do you call it? You have, like in the political field, that somebody's there and the media is speaking bad about him. You know, so people say he's bad. Then the new candidate comes up and all that, and then he's okay. They're glorifying him. He's the one, and this guy's that. But the guy, and then when the guy wins and everybody's glorifying and everybody's, you know, happy and victorious, but a week after the guy's in power, then they go back to criticize, because that's their dharma, is to find fault. That's all. That's all they're going to do. They don't know what's truth. They don't know what's this. It changes every day. You know? That's the way it works. Because they don't have, it means moral compass means it has to be based on the Lord. Otherwise, that moral compass keeps changing. So that's the whole thing. Right? So if it's pointing at something, what's that something? That is what establishes. But because they don't know what it's pointing at, then they will take something else.
If a devotee doesn't want to go to pure bhakti, automatically he's going to be covered or producing false knowledge.
Yes, he'll have some false knowledge, because if you're not interested in pure bhakti, it means you're interested in something else.
And this can be developed, false knowledge can be developed, and different theory can...
Different theory, but also a different place. It means the pure goes back to Godhead, and those who have that attachment to the material world, you know, as a focus, then they'll just get better material facilities. Because they're attached to karma, they'll get that. If they're attached to jnana, they'll get that. You know? So that's our point, is that the reason that we'll speak strongly on distractions of karma and jnana is because there's pure bhakti, and that gives the best. So that's the one aspect. That's the negative aspect, is don't do these because this is actually the thing. And these are distractions. The other way is that you look at it is that these things are, that there's an attachment to the karma, attachment to the jnana, then okay, but then those just are connected to Krishna.
Yes.
They come automatically with bhakti.
Yes.
So you're interested in these things, just perform service to Krishna. All these things will come on their own.
Yes.
So we can speak from whichever side.
Yes.
So in other words, if there's that false ego, then we're going to generally be stronger.
Yes.
You're talking about the false aspect of knowledge.
Yes.
And then if they take that humble attitude, but I'm just attached and this and that,
yes,
then you say, no, but it's connected to Krishna, and so then it's nice. Because then the focus goes on the natural knowledge.
Yes. Yes.
So that's then what you're dealing with. So that's the point, Thunderbolt and Rose. You know? Does that make sense? Yes. Means if someone had a nice attitude but was attached, then Rose. But if they had a wrong attitude and they were proud of it, then it was Thunderbolt. So yes.
It's the story of Dhritarasura.
Ah.
He goes back to Godhead and
Indra stays. Yes, exactly. Yeah, because he was a pure devotee. He was just serving the Lord. He happens to be serving the Lord as a demon, so therefore he does demon stuff. You know? And Indra, he's doing his service in connection with the Lord, but he's attached to the position, the power, the facility, the respect. Because we see Indra, and it means he's running the universe nicely, then we're not noticing, we're not focusing on that. You know, in the way we see is when he's that surrender to the Lord, we're bringing that out, or when he's not surrendered to the Lord. So when he's surrendered to the Lord, you see very nice results. If he's not surrendered to the Lord, then this, all his bad results come from his false ego and attachment. The qualities of the upadana portion, pradhan, are described. Prakriti is called avyakta because, though having variety, it has a state of invisibility when the three gunas are in balance. It is called pradhan because, manifesting variety, it is the best, being the shelter of all visible elements. It is called prakriti because it is the very cause of all cause of all causes and effects. It is eternal. Srimad Bhagavatam 3:26:10. So we see here is that this principle that one thing can be given different names and different descriptions by what it's doing. Right? So when you're seeing it in one context, it's called this. When you're seeing it in a different context, it has a different name. Right? So these things seem. So avyakta, that it has the variety, but it's in balance. You know, nothing can work with it. So it's only mahatattva, then you can now work and do things with it. So when you're bringing that out, you know, so, yeah. So the pradhan, because it's the best, because it's the shelter of everything, right? And same time is, it's what everything is made from. It's the cause of all the causes that go on. Because it'll be the cause of the causes. Then you'll take the cause, the things here, the effects here, and using that to create things. So it causes what we have to work with, our raw, you know, ingredients, and then we take the ingredients and then make something else. Right? But it's the cause of those causes. Right? But Krishna is the ultimate cause of all causes. Like that. Yes?
Usually we say that pradhan, there is no manifested variety.
Yes, but it has all the variety in it. But it's all mushed together. It's just like khichdi has variety, but it's all mushed together.
When we say prakriti, we mean mahatattva.
It just depends upon. It's called prakriti because you see, prakriti means that it's working, and pradhan or avyakta means it's not.
So when we say avyakta, it means that guna is a balance. When we say pradhan, it's unmanifested. Now, what's the difference?
Pradhan just means it's the shelter of everything, so everything is there. That, but avyakta also the term means unmanifest. Because you can't do anything with it. Yes.
Pradhan means main, means that is the origin of all the manifestation.
Yes.
That gives that literal meaning of the word pradhan. And avyakta is one where we prove that it's in balanced state, like you cannot see any.
Yeah. Happening. So you can call pradhan avyakta.
Can you call avyakta pradhan?
It means you're dealing with that. How you say, the existence of the external energy. And so if you're taking it as the shelter of everything, it's called pradhan. And if you're talking about the variety and everything that it has, though that's not manifest, that's avyakta. So it can be the same thing, you're just talking about two things. You know, does that make sense?
There's different aspects.
Different aspects, yes. But you also have, and I think it was in the description of the creation with Vidura, I think Maitreya and Vidura, then avyakta will be a state between pradhan and mahatattva. But it's still, it would be classified not exactly as its own state, but as just another aspect of pradhan. Because you still can do nothing with it, and everything is still balanced. That's why then only when the Lord entered it, then they could start to put things together and do things with it. And that will be then according to the three gunas, you know, according to, you know. In other words, if you're going to make a whale, that has certain gunas. And so you can put it together. It may be the primordial whale, or the blueprint of the whale. But it's still according to mode. So avyakta, you can't do that because it's all in balance. So you can't put things together. So it's only when there's attraction you can put things together. So Krishna has to enter, and he's the attractive feature. So then all the different individual atoms of earth, water, fire, air, and ether can be combined in different ways according to that concept, and then you get. Does So then you get Mahatattva. So basically, avyakta is another feature of the 24 elements homogeneously there and in balance, or them separated and still in balance, would be the difference between the two. So one is, you can see the variety, one it's the shelter. But in either case, it'll be the cause. Right? That, and then you'll see then the Mahatattva, then you're dealing with the nimitta aspect. It's where now you can create all the things. The universes, all the different things that we manifest. Because the universe also has to be part of Mahatattva, because it's going to have all the, what do you call it? You know, the coverings are all the different you know, earth, water, fire, air, like this.
Why wouldn't we call Pradhan Dravya?
It is Dravya. It is Dravya. You can call it Dravya, you can call it Upadana. You know, like in here, it's called Upadana. Wasn't here, was in the page before. Yeah. So, any of those, like we said, Dravya means ingredients. Upadana generally means paraphernalia. It's like the same thing. You know, like that. Just a matter of what you were taking it as. It's just slightly different flavor. You know, just like, let's say, you say, this person is my mom, or this person is my mother. It's the same person, it's the same principle, but there's a slight difference in flavor between mom and mother. Mother means the official position, or mom is the one who takes care. So, you understand, that's what we're dealing with here. So one is that, in other words, the Dravya means the mother. You know, and the Nimitta means the mom. Does that make sense? You know, so it's all aspects of Durga. No? Yeah? Works? Doesn't work?
Oh, it does.
You're looking more at the German kind of one, where the fatherland? No. It's good. Thus Maya, the illusory energy of the Lord, through her various energies, causes bewilderment and engages the conditioned jiva in material activities, right? So he's bewildered by covering that, and then he's engaged.
Yeah.
Right? So the confused means he's engaged. And the covering means he's bewildered. Does that make sense? So in this one, then you see, because we could take, well, bewildered and confused, that would be the same. But that's not the... Because you can only be engaged in material activities if your natural knowledge is covered. So you become bewildered there. So it just depends upon how you're expressing it. So in other words, one's active and one's not.
That. To understand clearly these two aspects can help us a lot not to be undermined.
Yes. So, yes, because that's why then, you know, when we take these false externals and then say that we have to act according to that, no, is that it's a consideration. You know, that one is from a particular background or this or that. It's not that it's not considered, but it's not the basis. You can't say, oh, because we're Westerners, we can't do, you know, this Indian stuff. It's like, when is the soul American? When is the soul European? You know, since when is it Indian? When Prabhupada says Vedic, he doesn't mean Indian. It happens to be in this locale. So if you're looking at everything in a gross way, you can call it Indian. But the problem is then that person seeing in that gross way won't be able to actually understand it. Because we have to, Varsha meant the whole planet before. So the whole planet was following the Vedic culture before. It's just that some have forgotten and some still remember. That's all. Yeah, so you don't start there. You always start with Krishna's position and all that and how we're his servant. Then you apply it into your situation. Okay, so in this situation, what would you do? But to say, we're not from there, we can't do those things, that's then not understanding your soul. Then you're thinking, I am the body. Because the soul is independent of the material nature. It can take shelter of Krishna and the internal potency and can do. It doesn't mean anything to say that. But to say no, we're Western, we can't do that. That's simply a gross bodily conception. There's no philosophy at all in that. It means the dogs and cats think that. Right? They take it even more. So, this block is, we're from this block, not that block. So if you take that philosophy and keep going, you end up with gangs, you end up with animals, that's what you end up with. That's where it's going. That philosophy is going that direction. Krishna says there's one path. There's Antarmuk and Bahirmuk. So this is, you can say, your leading, philosophy in Bahirmuk. It's not going towards Krishna. So that's the difficulty. It's starting on a false premise. You're already starting not even on the first covering. You're starting on, no, but this is who we are. We have to do these activities. That's already the false covering, the false identity given. The second aspect, it's already the lower aspect of Maya. And we're making a philosophy there. Not even going back to the first one. At least Mayavadis, they try to go back to the first one, though they don't understand it. That there's a basis, there's detachment from the world, there's all these things that we have more in common with the Mayavadis than we do with these people who are professing this, what do you call it? Upadivadis. Yes.
Well, technically they're called in Vedic tradition Ganapatyas, because it's Gana.
Yes, about a group, Ganapatyas.
They would be Vaishavadis.
Sorry?
Vaishavadis.
Vaishavadis.
It's all about the outfits?
Yes, Vaishavadis.
Vaishavadis. Huh? You were seeing Desha and Vaisha in the Natya Shastra.
Oh, yeah.
Desha, Vaishavadis.
Vaisha Deshavadi. Yeah, that's right. The Vaisha Deshavadi. Yeah. So it has no means. You're taking an element that is there. Like when we preach, we'll consider who we're preaching to. Like what words, what context, what kind of examples you would give. You always do that. That's just normal for preaching. If people aren't doing that, they're just not so expert at it. But because people aren't so expert, you don't make a new philosophy and say, this is the real way, and all this other Vedic is not. That's just totally bogus. I mean, it's just like, then what's the meaning of the acharyas and everything else? One has to give up these kind of attachments, because it's based on false ego, based on who we are, and then they'll say that this is the universal philosophy. That means they think their conditioning is universal. It's the superior, position.
It's Maya.
Yeah, it's just Maya. And so that's the basis. Everybody thinks they're better. One country thinks they're better than the other, and the other, it's like each one you go to, each one will have jokes about the other countries. I'm sure France will have jokes about the Italians and Germans. Germans will have about the, like this. Everybody has jokes about each other, because they think they're the best. And even within this state, I'm sure that those from the north have jokes about people from the country, and vice versa, like that. So it just goes on and on. So that is of no value. You have to say, that's why you have to start from Krishna. It has to be descending. So there may, yes, just like we see in so many things, there'll be some truth and a little bit of truth in anything that anybody's saying. But if it's not seen in the context of properly and Krishna, how he's given it, it doesn't give the effect. Right? Like the Mayavadi saying we're not the body, that's correct. But then they're saying, we're not the soul either. So that's where it falls apart. They say we're Brahman, that's correct. But then saying that we're the supreme part of Brahman, that's where it falls apart. So yes, you have to consider the environment in which you're dealing, but at the same time, you can't start there. You have to start from the absolute. And so therefore, it's backwards. It's an ascending process. That means it's just a speculative method. Like that, yes. So here is that, you know, you have to see is that Maya has these. And so it's the lower of them. We're presenting you have an original nature. So you're giving up the cover, being bewildered by Maya that you think you're the body, and then of what specific body, like that. We're trying to take it back to the original knowledge of the soul. That's universal. That you can preach to anybody. This other stuff, it'll work in a particular region. You know, outside of that, it's not going to get much traction. You know, not amongst cultured people. You know, not amongst cultured people. Anucheta 48. Paramatma Shakti, called Tatastha, has been described. The Antaranga Shakti should be understood as described previously in Bhagavat Sandarbha. Now the Bahiranga Shakti will be described. Esha Maya Bhagavata Sarga Stityanta Karani Trivarana Varnita Smabhi Kim Bhuya Shrotum Ichasi. I have now described Maya, the illusory energy of the Supreme Lord, which consists of the three modes of material nature and causes creation, maintenance, and annihilation of the universe. Now, what more do you wish to hear? Srimad Bhagavatam 11.3.16. Antariksha speaks to Videha. I have described Maya, Esha, the cause of creation, maintenance, and destruction, which belongs to Paramatma, Bhagavata, who has qualities like Aishwarya arising from a sarup. It has three gunas. Prakriti is also described in the Atharva Shruti. Sita, Sita, Cha, Raktascha, Sarva, Kama, Dugha, Vibho. Prakriti is black, white, and red, and bestows all desires of the Lord. Chulika Upanishad. Prakriti has been described in the Gita. Daivi Hyesha Gunamayi Mama Maya Duratyaya. My Maya made of the gunas, fit for the Jiva's pleasure, is hard to surpass. Bhagavad Gita 7:14. Gunamaya refers to Prakriti. Vritti. Having described the Maya Shakti of the Lord, the two main divisions of her based on difference in function as the efficient cause and the material cause are described in the next Anucheta. Anucheta 49. Maya has two portions, Guna Rupa, or Maya portion, which is the efficient cause, Nimitta, and Dravya Rupa, or Pradhan, the material cause, Upadana. Footnote 2. Where was footnote 1? Oh, here, Nimitta. Okay. This is also known as Jiva Maya. Okay, so you have Guna Maya, Maya, or Jiva Maya, which is described in the Bhagavat Sandarbha, Anucheta 16, as follows. Jiva Maya is so called because its aim is the Jiva, his bewilderment. And its Maya arises from the functions of Vidya and Avidya of the Lord's Nimitta Shakti. Taking support of this Jiva Maya at the beginning of creation, Brahma manifested Avidya. So this Nimitta means that you have to be able to make things work. You have to be able to take it and transform it and all that. So the Jivas, then the Jiva Maya, he becomes covered, and this is what he works in. He identifies with this, and this is what I do. This is my work. Like that. So that's the Jiva Maya. Yes.
So in this case, Jiva Maya is the cause and the Guna Maya is the effect. Is that right?
Yeah? Okay. So then that means that the Jiva Maya is what is covering him then.
Both Maharaj, just like we described. Within the Jiva Maya is what the Gunarupa, which is mentioned.
Oh, you mean both of them are within Jiva Maya? No, because it says here one is Jiva Maya.
Maharaj, this is what we are describing. The
first Gunamaya, okay. And then Dravya.
Dravya is the Gunamaya. The words are interchanged. When we described as Gunarupa and Dravya Rupa, then the Gunarupa represents the Jiva Maya.
Okay.
And Dravya Rupa represents the Gunamaya.
Okay.
Because the guna can mean the qualities, guna can mean the modes.
Dravya.
Dravya.
Oh, okay. Oh, it means ingredients, yes. Meaning the 24 elements,
yes.
Or it can mean the three modes of nature.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
So that's why the words could be interchanged like this.
Oh, okay. Okay. Yeah, just like before, they used bewilderment as the first one, and then okay. Now I shall describe.
Because, as you said, covering and throwing potency both act,
yes,
on the jiva. So both are part of jiva maya. After he's thrown into the material world, and how he plays with the material nature is the guna rupa, because she arranges facilities for.
Oh, okay. Okay. Okay, so those are two features of his cover.
Yes.
Huh. Oh, okay, so he's covered, and then he acts with that.
He acts. His action in the material world, then like how the whole creation, secondary creation happened.
Okay. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki. Jai.